Andrew Womack Ministries presents this session from the 2017 Campus Days. We pray that the Word of God will come alive in your heart as you listen.
Amen. Am I on? Yeah. Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see a crowd this size. And the way I did this was that I started this vicious rumor that I was going to rap my message. And I was just trying to get a crowd. So, praise God, it worked. But this is different for me because typically I speak on the first day of a conference. And this time they gave my spot to Carrie Pickett. And so I asked about it and I was told that, you know, we're trying to attract people to the school. Okay. But I'm not making this up. Last night, someone came to me and said, Barry, I loved your message. And I said, I haven't spoken yet. And I started to figure this out, that if enough people come and tell me they love my message and they schedule me on the last day, I'll begin to think I've already spoken. And I'm smarter than I look. I know good and well I haven't spoken yet. But I'm starting to feel like Rodney Dangerfield, I think, you know, not getting any respect. I was in Massachusetts a couple of weeks ago ministering in our school there, and I called home to my wife and I said, hi hon, how's everything going? She says, great, I bought a dog. I said, I've only been gone 2 days, I'm coming back. But anyway. So, praise the Lord, everybody doing well? Yes. We have been blessed, I tell you what, I've gotten inspired. In fact, I had a message prepared for this. I typically begin to pray about these conferences even months in advance and just try to get the mind of the Lord. And as I was listening to Andrew this week, I thought, you know, I'm gonna build on top of that. I hope Andrew doesn't mind. I've gotten so inspired and some more revelation. So I wanna share with you a message that I've been sharing as I travel. And I've been sharing this for the last couple of years, and it just keeps getting bigger and deeper in my spirit. And so I wanna share it with you today. And we're gonna talk some more about the seed. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. So if you will, go with me to Mark 4. And I just want to launch from there, and then we're going to talk about a number of different things. Mark 4:26, he says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. That's as far as I'm going to go. That's all I need to get going here. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And that is a revelation of how everything God has created is going to work. And Andrew has explained a lot of that, that everything is going to work according to the principle of seed time and harvest, or everything begins as seed. Once creation was started, then God put seed in everything, and everything about the kingdom, everything about nature, everything about humanity, all functions according to this principle of the seed. And so God has been dealing with me about the seed now for several years, and it's just been building and building and building. I've been getting more and more what I believe to be revelation on this. And so I wrote some things down. I want to share some concepts with you about seed. So what I want to do, I'm going to talk to you first about the principle of the seed, and then I'm going to segue into understanding what that means for our lives, and then we're going to talk about Jesus and redemption. And then we're going to finish up by talking about, well, I have a punchline at the end that I think is going to really bless you. It really has blessed me and really opened my eyes. So let's talk about the seed a little bit. I have a few things that God has given me over time here. Every seed contains a unique destiny. Every seed is programmed with a destiny. If we're talking about I use watermelons a lot, so I'll stick with watermelons. But if we talk about watermelons, a watermelon seed has a watermelon destiny, right? It's programmed for that. If we talk about corn, if we talk about something else, every seed has a unique destiny that has been programmed into it. All right? The programmed nature of every seed is increase. Or everything that is about God is about increase. That's why poverty is of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is not of God, because God's kingdom functions on the principle of increase, of multiplication. Everything should always be getting bigger and better, because it's working on this concept of the seed. Every seed carries the potential to be multiplied infinitely. Let's go back to the watermelon seed. If I have one watermelon seed, how many potential harvests of watermelons do I have? There is no end to it. In fact, and I share this, and my idea of world peace would be if we could all sit down together at the same time and eat watermelon. Now, I was sharing that in Florida a couple months ago, and there was a girl there, precious young new believer. And it was as if she just stepped right out of the 60s. She kind of had this flower child vibe. And she says, "Brother Barry," she says, "I know a group that believes that too. And they actually do it. And they stand in a circle," and she went on to describe, "and then they sit down and eat watermelon." I thought, okay, I got to change my example here. Or find out where they are. Anyway. So every seed represents a present insufficiency that carries infinite potential. Think about that a minute. Every seed represents a present insufficiency that carries infinite potential. It can, if sown in the right soil, continue to produce fruit which contains seed, and this can go on forever. But in its present state, it is not meeting your need. Is that making sense? All right. Every seed can produce something for consumption in the present and something for multiplication in the future. Every seed can give you, with the first harvest, something to eat, but also, if you are wise, give you something to give increase for your future, because that's the nature of the seed. Everything is seed. Now, this is where the Lord has really been dealing with me. Everything about us is seed, because we came from seed. And so within us, every thought is a seed thought. Every word is a seed word. Every expression is a seed. Body language is seed. Every action is seed. Everything we do in life, we are sowing something. We are sowing from the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. All of those things are seeds. And that's how the kingdom of God works. It's also how the power of darkness works. And every seed carries within it, now this is good, every seed carries within it the nature of its source. I thought, wow. Every seed carries the nature of its source. Now, what's the source? Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth" what? Good things. Brings forth is referring to the future. Good things. The good things are good because of the nature of the source, which is the heart, the good man. An evil man brings out of his heart evil things. And so I began to realize that what's in my head and what's in my mouth and the actions and everything, they're coming from somewhere. And where they're coming from is determining the nature of that which has infinite potential to reproduce. And so if I speak a word from my flesh or if I think a thought from my flesh, those seeds have potential, and they bear the nature of their source, flesh. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. If I'm sowing from my heart that has been transformed by the Spirit of God, and I'm seeing things with God's eyes and with the wisdom of God, and I begin to speak the words of life that God has given me and think thoughts of life, then I'm sowing and I'm bringing forth good things, bringing forth my future through the power of seed. Is this making sense? All right. So every seed is going to bear the nature of its source. It's going to carry infinite potential, and it's designed to increase. That's its nature. That's how the kingdom works. So when Jesus says, this is how the kingdom works, there's a lot in that statement. Because everything functions according to this seed time and harvest. The vision of the sower determines what will be accomplished. A seed can unlock infinite harvest or be consumed and leave no trace. We determine. Now think, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Think about the story of the loaves and the fishes and the feeding of the multitudes. And I'm going to kind of combine all of these into one paraphrase here. Jesus says there's a multitude. The disciples say, send them away that they can find something to eat. And he says, you give them something to eat. And so they go and look at their resources. And they come back and they say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This isn't enough. In other words, they are looking at their resources with natural eyes, and they are seeing a present insufficiency. Okay, this is starting to click. They give it. He says, give it to me. They give it to Jesus, who now, they were a source. They were evaluating their resources with their natural eyes. They are a source from which they can, 2 or 3 of them can eat lunch. That's how they understood it. We only have. Jesus took the same resources, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but he's looking at it with different eyes. He's seeing it differently than they saw it. They saw it as a present insufficiency. He sees it as infinite potential. Same 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No difference other than the new source. The new source is Jesus. And he is seeing something they did not see. And so he has them sit down in companies of 50 and 100. And then he begins to give them, he blesses it, he thanks the Lord, he breaks it, he gives it to the disciples, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And when everyone is absolutely full, they pick up 12 baskets full. Why? Not because something magical happened, magical in the weird sense of the word, but there, when Jesus took the same insufficiency and saw it as seed, it had unlimited potential. Did you know that everything within us is seed? When I was a little kid, I was probably 6 years old, and I remember my dad, when we would travel a lot, my dad was in the Air Force, and we'd travel all over the country, and many times my dad was, he loved shortcuts. And you already know where this is going. They didn't work. And my mom was always getting on him. And his name was George, but she called him Benny. I don't know why, but she said, Benny, why did you go this way? I told you this wouldn't work. And I would be in the back seat, little guy, 6, 7 years old, and I'd say, Dad, are we lost? What's going on? And he would say, with his sense of humor, he would say, Barry, I don't think we can get there from here. Now, when you're 6 years old, that's kind of like a, we can't get there. And I would sit back there and I would just go over that in my head. We can't get there from here. Can we get there from there? So the key is to get from here to get to there, you know? And I think a lot of us look at our present insufficiencies that we would consider insufficiency. Well, I only have a high school education, or I only finished 8th grade, or I only have $2 in the bank. or I only have this, or I only have that, or if you only knew my situation. And we are evaluating our present insufficiencies, and we're determining that we can't get there from here. Whatever God has put in your heart, whatever vision, whatever thing you would love to do that you see could be the will of God for your life, and you say, but I only have. I only have. And yet if we changed the eyeballs that we use, and we would use our spiritual eyes instead of our natural eyes, and look at this present insufficiency not as insufficiency but as seed, and that we would change our source heart rather than sowing negativity and fear and lack into our lives with the way we think and the way we speak and the way we act, and I only have, and change our heart, our source, then those seeds would take on the nature of the transformed source, your heart of faith and vision, and they would no longer represent present insufficiency, but infinite potential. Praise God. Now, think of the Elijah and the widow woman. Andrew took us there last night, 1 Kings 17. The widow woman, she has a vision for her future. Okay, we're going to modernize this a bit. She's out there making pancakes, all right? And she says, Elijah approaches her, and she says, I only have enough for two pancakes, one for me, one for my son. We're going to eat these, and we're going to die. What a vision. What a confession. And she is evaluating what appears to be a present insufficiency. And she's coming to a conclusion based upon her natural thinking, her natural understanding. She's thinking that way. She's speaking that way. Thus, if she were left to herself in that condition, that would be her future. She is sowing her future. And Elijah says, let me paint a new picture for you. If you'll make a pancake for me first. I know a lot of preachers manipulate this for various reasons, but just stick with it. If you'll make a pancake for me first, let me paint a picture. There's going to be enough for you, your son, and for me for the next, I think, 3 years or whatever. There is going, if you will see this rather than as the last two pancakes, see this as seed, then there is going to be enough for both of us or all three of us for as long as we need to eat this. See, the kingdom works according to this principle of seed. And part of our problem, or all of our problem really, is the fact that we live on a natural level most of the time. And we are viewing everything with natural eyes, and we are seeing it and speaking over it and cursing it, basically, by saying, I only have. Talking about coming to Bible college. Well, we are rehearsing all of everything in our natural circumstances with natural eyes, out of a heart filled with unbelief, and speaking those things out. And whether you know it or not, you're sowing your future. You're sowing your future. Now, go with me to John 12, 24. John 12, 24. I want to talk to you about Jesus for a minute. John 12, 24, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. What is he talking about? Who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. Or in other words, Jesus is revealing that he is a seed that has to be sown, has to die, or he will abide alone in his state of sinless perfection. There will be no communion with anyone else. But if he die, if he is buried, if he raises up again, then there is an opportunity for all of humanity to partake of his life. Now, John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Now, what is the Word that we've been learning this week? The Word is the seed. Okay? "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth." Jesus said, "Unless I, the seed, fall into the earth and die, I will abide alone. But if I die, I will bring forth much fruit." Jesus is this seed, this Word seed, and he bears the nature of the source. Who's the source? The Father. And what is Jesus, this seed, full of? Grace and truth. Or in other words, God, in understanding the need of humanity, knew his own principles. This is how it works: seed time and harvest. Therefore, I am going to wrap up everything that I am into the Word, Jesus, and make him flesh, and everything the world needs, all the redemption, all the deliverance, all the healing, all the salvation, all the forgiveness, all the prosperity, all the joy, all the peace, everything the world needs, I'm going to put it in this one seed. And I'm going to sow that seed into the earth, because that's how the kingdom works. And in that seed, there is infinite potential, and it bears the nature of the source. Wow. And it is full of grace and truth. Now, I'm going to give you my definition of grace. Grace is God's provision for man's every need, spirit, soul, and body. There is nothing that you need that falls outside of grace. Grace covers the full gamut of every need, spirit, soul, and body that we could possibly have. It has been provided for. And that's in the seed. And then truth is in the seed. And what does truth do? Set you free. The truth shall make you free. And God, his whole, and we could add everything else about the nature of God, his love, everything, his authority, his power, everything is in this seed. And he sees humanity in its darkness and corruption and despair. And he says, "I'm going to sow a seed," because that's how the kingdom works. And Jesus is that seed. And Jesus says, "If I don't fall into the earth and die, I'm going to abide alone. But if I die, I'm going to bring forth much fruit." And so then he rises from the dead, and when he rises from the dead and he pours out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, and people begin to get born again, and there's enough grace and truth in the seed Jesus that 3,000 get born on the first day, and there's enough grace and truth in them for it to continue to multiply infinitely, if you will, all the way to us. Now, I was thinking about this just last night, actually, as God continues to reveal these things to me and speak to me about this. Many times we consider, how many are familiar with Xerox copiers from the old days, before digital copying, all right? And the old thing about a Xerox copier is that if you make a copy, and then if you make a copy of a copy, and then if you make a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, then you're diminishing the sharpness of each copy. Each one is worse than the previous one, right? In the old days. Nowadays, we don't have that problem, but that's the way Xerox copiers used to work. And I think many times in the church, we tend to see ourselves as so far removed from the source that we're just copies of copies of copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. We're 2,000 years away from where it all began. And that's why the church is so messed up. Well, I've got some news for you. We may be 2,000 years away in terms of time, but in terms of the nature of the source and the seed, we are all first-generation Christians. And that, I don't know, is my head exploding? That makes my head explode. That is so incredible to think that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Last night, Andrew was talking about we already have it. And the light went on in my spirit last night. I mean, I've understood it before, but something deeper happened inside of me because I realized I have the faith of Jesus because Jesus, the seed, lives in me. I have the mind of Christ because the mind of Christ, Jesus, has direct relationship to the source, and things don't change over generations. They remain the same. You can take a watermelon back 100 generations and it still is going to look like the same watermelon if that seed came from that source. That's the way it's programmed. And we have everything within us. I've kind of gotten ahead of myself in my notes, and I'm excited, you know? This is good. But the grace of God that you need in your life is in the seed called Jesus. And the grace of God that can provide for everything you need is already in you. Andrew was talking about healing last night. Healing is in you. Well, I don't see it. It's a seed. It's a seed. Everything in our lives that we desire, that we're looking for, that we want to accomplish, everything that we have is perhaps a vision. Everything, we tend to go back and we think, well, look at my resources, look at my education, look at my marital status, look at this, look at that, and we go through all this list of reasons. And we're not seeing things the way God wants us to see them. Because if we would understand that your future, for good or for bad, is in you right now in seed form. And anything you want, that's why he says, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, anything you want that you have in your mind for your future, whether it's your marriage or your family or your career or your ministry or your health or your long life or your whatever, all of those things, don't ever say, I can't get there from here. You can get there from here, but you've got to recognize not a present insufficiency, but an infinite potential of the seed that's in you right now. The seed that's in you right now. Praise God. Go to Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace, and I'm going to add to this now, just bear with me. The grace that came packaged as a seed called Jesus. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many? All men. Where there is a potential in Jesus to reach the entire human race. To reach the entire human race. It came as a seed. Now, 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again by this incorruptible seed that's not Xeroxed. It's identical to the nature of the original source, and it now lives inside of us. And that's what makes us first generation Christians. Or in other words, everything you see happening in the book of Acts should be happening to us. But we've convinced ourselves that we're Xeroxed. When the reality is, we have the same born-again experience Paul did. Amen. The same seed that Peter had, the same seed that everyone else had. We have the same exact identical DNA impackaged truth and grace. We have the same thing. It's in us right now, and there is no limit to that potential. And that, man, that's exciting. That's exciting to think that inside of me is everything I need to reach the goals that God has given me or the vision God has given me. The only thing I'm lacking is my spiritual eyes when I evaluate my current apparent insufficiency. If I continue to evaluate my current status based upon my natural eyes, And I go around telling everybody what I don't have and how little I have and what my obstacles are and all of this stuff, then out of that heart of fear and unbelief, I am bringing forth my future, because that's how everything works, seed time and harvest. But I'm sowing seed of insufficiency, seeds of fear, seeds of lack, seeds of I don't know how this is going to work out. And those kinds of, how am I going to get to Bible college? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And we're looking at our present insufficiency rather than understanding, wait a minute, this is a seed. I can get to Bible college from here. I can do it. And then you begin to ask the Lord, show me how to sow that which I have inside of me right now. Show me how that is seed and not just lack. Show me how I can turn what looks like lack into infinite potential seed, because, and it may be this year, it may be next year, it may be, don't get discouraged, just begin to sow. Because if you sow, you will reap. And we are born again of this incorruptible seed of God's word, in which there is no lack. Lack was not programmed into the seed of God's word. Last night, Andrew was talking about the promises of God. We have been given in 2 Peter chapter 1, we've been given precious promises that by these, each promise of God is a seed. Each promise of God is just some words on a page in its natural state. And people read over these words on a page all the time and never understand, never see, never grasp that is their future if they would but see it as seed and sow it into their hearts and then sow it from their hearts into their environment. What did Jesus say? He said, if you have faith as a... And people for years have misunderstood this. See, all you need is a little tiny bit of faith. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. Because I can find 3 or 4 cases where he rebuked them for their little faith. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, wait a minute, I thought little faith was what we're all about here. If I just have a little teeny tiny bit of faith, then I'm good to go. That isn't what he's talking about. If you have faith as a what? As a seed, you shall what? You shall say. You shall sow. What do you do with a seed? Based upon the nature of the source, what kind of faith do you have in you? It's not a trick question. Based upon the nature of the source, what kind of faith do you have in you? You have God's faith. If you have faith in you as a seed, what can you do with it? You can sow it. How do you sow it? How did Paul sow it? I believe, therefore I speak. Having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I speak. In Romans, he says, calling those things that are not as though they were. In other words, when you begin to recognize everything within you is potentially seed, then you begin to sow it. If you have faith as a seed, you can change circumstances. You can change lives. You can change everything. If you have the God kind of faith and you recognize it not as a present insufficiency, but as a infinite potential seed, things can begin to change. And you begin to sow. I don't see sickness anymore. I see health. I don't see lack anymore. I see prosperity. As a man thinks in his heart, well, out of the abundance of the heart, I'm going to bring this stuff forth. So I better start changing the way I think in my heart. Amen? Because I want to sow Not from fear, but I want to sow from faith, and I want to start. I call my marriage blessed. I call my children blessed. I call my career blessed. I call my job blessed. I call my resources blessed. I am going to begin to sow from the seed of the faith of God that is in me, because I was born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word that bears the nature of the source. Amen. And so I have no lack. I have all that I need to get there from here. It's all there. Praise God. Now, let me share with you what I saw as I was going through this, and I'm still going through this. It's still bouncing around like a pinball inside of me. And the Lord said to me, and I'll put it to you the way He put it to me. If you were the only born-again person on the face of this earth, all right, you're the only one. Incorruptible seed of God's word. If you were the only born-again person on the face of this earth, there is enough grace and truth in you to bring healing and salvation and deliverance and redemption to every person on this earth. Now, I don't know if that hit you like it hit me, but all of a sudden my challenges and problems got really tiny. Because all of a sudden I realized that which is inside of me, if I were the only one, that seed bears the nature of the source and is programmed for increase and will not diminish over repetitive sowings. And therefore, that which is inside of me is enough to solve the world's problems. And yet we spend all of our time whining and complaining, which I'm diminishing in my own life, hopefully, as this grows inside of me. I have no right to complain. I have no right to worry. I have no right to fear. I have no right to tell everybody how bad it is. I have no right to talk about lack. I have no right, because I'm carrying within me, if I'm the only one on the face of the earth, I'm carrying within me enough for everybody. All I got to do is sow it. First thing I got to do is believe it. And there's a lot of folks in this room right now that are wondering, how do I do this? I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm down to my last 2 pancakes. Change your need, as Andrew would say, I think. Maybe I'm paraphrasing, but don't look at it as a need. Look at it as a seed and begin to sow. Begin to sow your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and begin to think like God thinks. Begin to see. Open your spiritual eyes. A lot of us need to close our natural eyes. Just turn them off and quit looking at all the stuff around us that distracts us and chokes the word. The word is a seed. Stop being choked and open the spiritual eyes and begin to look out and say, okay, I see potential. I see potential. I see potential. I see possibilities. Doesn't it say in Ephesians 3:20 that He is able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we ask or think? Now I'm going to change it. According to the seed that works in us. If you have faith as a seed, you will say, I believe, therefore I speak. And you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and nothing shall be impossible, and it will obey you. And we can go through all these scriptures about faith, and they all begin with the idea. See, someone was speaking to me the other day, I forget who it was, and it blessed me, because I've been teaching faith for decades. And all of a sudden, I'm getting this deeper revelation that it's His faith. Because it came from His seed, which came from the source. And so ask yourself, if you're going through something and you're doubting your own faith, ask yourself, does Jesus have enough faith for this situation? Oh yeah, I know Jesus has enough faith. Well, guess who lives inside of you? You think you've run out? Use His. Okay? Use his. Praise God. We're in this together. You're not on your own. John 14 says we have the Holy Spirit in us, and then it says we have the Father and the Son in us. It's crowded in there. We are not lacking. And everything, folks, everything you need for your future, everything you need for whatever God has put into your heart, you have it right now. You have it out of the treasure of your heart. That's the key right there. Is your heart full of fear, full of worry, or is it full of the Word of God? Is the joy of the Lord your strength, or are you your strength? See, we should be walking in continual joy. We should be walking in peace that passes understanding. We should be walking with our spiritual eyes open, and we should be realizing, I am a walking bag of seed. And everywhere I go, I am just sowing blessings, and I am blessing people, and I am blessing me, and I am not speaking curses over my life anymore, bless God. And I'm not looking at five loaves and two fishes as lack. I'm looking at it as seed. And I am going to give, and I am going to bless, and I am going to speak, and I am going to think as I think in my heart, and out of my heart comes my future, and I am going to change my future. I can get there from here. I will do it. Praise God, because the seed in me is exactly like the source. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm finishing a little bit early here, but I think I've done what I want to do. So I want to pray with you. Can I do that?
Yes.
Can you stand? Hallelujah. I feel like there's some of you here that have gotten this. I'm gonna say there's a lot of you that have gotten this today. And whatever you're going through right now, you have enough. You have enough in you right now to get wherever God's leading you. You can get there from here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in the mighty, powerful, precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that this is how the kingdom works, Lord. We see it. Our eyes have been opened. That we bear the nature of the source. You're the source. And inside that seed is programmed increase, abundance, infinite potential, harvest after harvest. And it's all inside of us, grace and truth. And Father, we determine now not to look at our present circumstances as we only have, but rather to look at our present resources, our present situation, not as need, but as seed. And Father, we are going to begin to change the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. We are going to begin to sow and to sow and to bless and to be thankful and to be joyful. And we are going to walk in this newness, Father, of understanding the power of the seed in our lives. That everything you've put in our hearts, every need that may be around us, every sickness, every financial lack, every whatever the thing is that we're going through, there is something inside of us right now that is the answer, and an abundant answer for those every need if we would just simply begin to sow our seeds in faith. Praise God. I pray for those that are making decisions today, considering school, considering other things perhaps, Lord, that all of us would get our hearts in union with your heart. Our spiritual eyes opened, that we wouldn't see lack anymore. All we would see is opportunity. Amen. All we would see is potential. All we would see is the source, and know that from the source, inside of me is the exact same nature. And Father, we bless you, we thank you, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.
We hope your heart has been quickened by hearing the Word of God through this message. It's the faithful support of people like you who make this ministry possible. We invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries. We maintain a website at awmi.net. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111 or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Until next time, we pray that you'll reach out by faith and receive everything that's yours through God's grace.